we've been worshiping and just bringing our praise to God, and we've been reminded that God does so many things, what he does in our lives, but also what he's trying to do in the world, that he is a father to the orphan and looks after those who are in need. And these 2 weeks at the end of November each year, we try to kind of focus on mission. So we finished our sermon series on 1 Peter last week, and we will move into Advent on the first Sunday of December when Advent begins. But in these 2 weeks, next week, as Tyler was saying, we have that missions conference. But this week, we're looking maybe a little bit more internationally, a little bit more about what God is wanting to do through us as a church, and it has to do with Rwanda. And so one of the passages that's very key to our church, which is probably amazingly familiar to you, is from the end of Matthew when Jesus meets the disciples just before he goes back into heaven, and he gives them his last command. And Jesus came to them and said to them in Matthew 28:18, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I will be with you always to the end of the age." And out of that passage, we get the purpose of our church, which we've always said has been that we make fully devoted followers of Jesus. And it just comes straight out of that passage where Jesus says, go and make disciples. And he goes on to say, then baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And if you'd been in the first service, you would have seen that happen as well this morning. And then he goes on to say, and teach them to obey everything that I've commanded them, which what I take to be the purpose of why we have a sermon as part of our worship is after we brought our praise to God and got ourselves emotionally back into sync with God, we hear his voice and we hear him calling us. And so this morning we're going to think a little bit about that. And so I invite you just to pray that God would prepare you and that God would open your ears and that God would prepare me and God would control my words, and that together we would hear God. So, Father God, we've come, we've worshiped, we've praised you. We thank you for who you are and what you're doing. And, Father, we just pray, as we think about this new adventure in our church life, that you would just whisper in our ears where we can be involved, where we can be supportive and helpful, where you would want us to be a part. And so, Father God, I just thank you for calling us to be your servants as we prayed over those who are new members, that they would find their place of belonging and service. We pray that for ourselves, Lord, that we would continue to find that place of service you have for us. So, Father, speak to us this morning as we reflect this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we're not going to so much unpack that passage of Scripture as to say, if that is the fundamental ground from which we as a church work in all areas, what does that look like on an international basis? What does that look like for God to be calling us into ministry? And if you've been around the church for a while, you know that this summer, a team of us went to Rwanda on a kind of investigative thing, just saying that we want to be involved in mission, we want to be involved somewhere. We think it needs to be somewhere where there's a geographic center where we can work with a set group of people where we can make a difference in this area and move out from there. And we chose Rwanda for many reasons. One, we have a connection to it in our church. Two, it's an area that's in great need. But three, it's an area that is politically stable enough that anything we do has a more than good chance of being able to continue. There are some worse places in the world, but any difference you make there disappears very quickly in the political uncertainty of the culture. And so Rwanda became the place that we had kind of identified. And just trying to figure out where it is, it's an enormous country in the middle of Africa, but it's pretty well the geographic center of Africa. As best they know, no white man ever got there before about the 1900, because it is just so in the middle. And it's a tiny country with about 15 million people. It's got an amazing history. It has an amazing culture. And it was the place that we felt called to go into and begin to do something there. And so in August of last year, we sent that team in, and we went in there to see what was happening and to meet the people. So we met with our missionaries who were there, and we met with the Buskins, who are a family from New Brunswick. They are the only Canadian missionaries in Africa with our mission. All the rest of the people that are serving with our mission are national workers from the local country. And so we had a chance to meet with Laura Lee and Daryl. And we also got to meet with some of the national workers. Andre, who was here at our church, who's the national worker. He's the national leader for the mission in Africa. He is the guy that's in charge. And Gatto, who I don't have a picture of right here, but we also met with him, who does a lot of work there and is another one of the national workers. We met with the denomination that's there, which is called the AEBR, which in French would say the Association of Baptist Churches of Rwanda. You have to get an église in there in order to get the E. But we got to meet with them, and Reverend Emmanuel, who spent 4 days with us in various parts of the country as we traveled together, and we got to sit, and this was at a breakfast meeting we were having that went to lunch, and just talking about what it is that they wanted us to do. And then we got to meet with his staff and us in this picture. Just the people that are the denominational leaders there. And we saw a number of things, and you've heard all this, so I'm not going to go into it in detail, but we saw the Food Grains project that's there, and you know that we do a Thanksgiving offering where we take money up, which we give to the Brownfield Church, which is a church in northern Alberta, Central Alberta, which grows crops, and then the crops are sold and the money goes, and we'll be reporting on that. But this year was a bad year for crops all over Alberta, but they still raised $68,000, which when it gets the Canadian government matches either 4-to-1, 3-to-1, or 1-to-1, depending on what the project is. But that will add, hundreds of thousands of dollars to their budget. And so we got to meet with some of that. We got to see Guardians of Hope Project, which is HIV/AIDS, which has been a major problem in sub-Saharan Africa. The retroviral drugs have now brought that under control medically, but there's still a lot of stigma involved with people that have HIV/AIDS. And so this is ministries that brings them together in co-ops to begin to help themselves and begin to reestablish them into community. I saw peace and reconciliation projects where people in communities were helping each other, building houses for each other, learning how to be in co-ops of crafts and other kinds of things that could raise money. We saw all kinds of things at the church that we were based at, and the school, and a teaching day, and all these kind of things. And out of that came this vision for having a five-year partnership with Rwanda, with the church there, and with our own mission board. And so the idea is that we will put together this agreement, which we're in the basis of the process of just finishing partnership with our mission board, the local church there, and it'll be based in Bugesera, which is this dry little part of the southern part of the country where the arrow is. Rwanda, if you've seen, I saw last night was Gorillas in the Mist was on PBS, if you saw it. That's northern Rwanda. That's the beautiful part of Rwanda. That's the Banff part of Rwanda. We're in the Medicine Hat part of Rwanda. We're in the dry and the dusty and the part that's in great need. So, but that's there. We're working a little church, mostly because the international airport is moving out in the Bugesera region, and they needed the land that the other church was on, and they got a credible buyout for their land, and they were able to be as the school. You can just see the church in the background, and this is a school of 1,700 kids, and so it's an exciting place, and that'll be the central kind of base that we work out of. It's the main church for that region. And the whole idea is to plan regular mission trips where we go to learn, where we go to serve, where we will go to use what God has given us and learn what God has given them to bring back. And we're looking at doing that in June of next year for the first one. And there'll be just some various pieces to it. Education is a big part. One of the things that gives Rwanda its stability is its president, President Kagame, who is a wonderful, benevolent dictator. He's an absolute dictator. Don't cross him. You may not live. but he loves the country and he wants to do what's best for it. And one of the things he said is, well, if churches are going to be there, then churches need to be doing things right. And so one of the things he did was he said pastors need degrees. And a lot of their pastors don't even have a high school education. They have kind of a Bible college training. And so the idea is to go in there and to work with the seminary who are teaching pastors with degrees, but also to help the evangelists, the lay leaders, and the pastors who don't yet have a degree, and begin to do this because they will close any church that is pastored by someone that doesn't have a degree in the next few years. So there's a great need there to do that. There's a great need with children. The median age, so half the people in Rwanda are under 20. It's a tremendous child driven country, mostly because 5 years ago and what's happened since then. But just the need to do stuff with kids in Sunday school and in that school that you saw, and also in the link between them. When you've got a church, 1,700 kids, you need some way of connecting those together. And that's one of the things that they've asked us to come and work on as well. They've asked us to come and do some stuff with the food grain projects that are there. And you've seen the slide before if you've been around, but the cassava plant on the right is the way they traditionally grew them. The cassava plant on the left is exactly the same plant, just was planted differently and looked after differently. It has no different input. But what they learned was that there are ways that you can increase your yield by tons. And if you're on the brink of starvation, that can make all the difference in the world. And so going in there to work alongside of that, because we are a supporter of Food Grains Bank through for our Christmas offering, for working alongside the community development of helping people with the building of homes. And this is just a guy who's, through health reasons, lost his house. They helped him build a new one, and they make the bricks, and they help him build. And it's just this community coming together to make a difference in a cooperative kind of way. One of the other things that that happened there was just working with the school. School of 1,700 students, 16 classrooms, which means there's an average of 70 kids in the morning and then a different 70 kids in the afternoon with the same teacher in the same classroom without any school books and other stuff, really. So just an opportunity that's there to do something like that. Also to work in the whole area of the washrooms, which are 12 little cement stalls with a hole in the floor, and 12 of them for 1,700 kids, plus the church. So it's that kind of thing. The other thing that President Kagame did was he said there's got a lot of churches that are structurally unsafe. So he just closed all the unsafe churches. And out of about 370 churches or whatever they had there, they all closed almost 200 of the AEBR churches. And they've been able to open many of them, but there's still two in Bugesera that aren't open yet. And one of the things we did when we did our church building is we said, we're going to tithe off of this. And so we set aside 10% of the money that we raised to pay off the construction costs here. And with that money, we've given some to Gull Lake and some to Mustard Seed and some to other agencies and some to church planting. But we've also built 9 churches around the world. And we have a fund that still has some money in it that could finish these last 2 churches in Bugesera. And that would give us 11 churches beyond the church that we built here. So just that exciting thing of, you know, what could make a difference if we could get over there and do stuff like that. And so there's a church that could go from that to that. And then kind of the finances for it. So if you remember, because we believe that each of us is to tithe and to give 10% of what God gives us to the church, we believe the church should model that by giving beyond itself 10%. And so we give half of that to our denomination. We give half, a quarter of it to Gull Lake Camp. And we give a quarter of it to Canadian Baptist Ministries, our mission board. And this is where it's going to go. 5,000 of it will go to theological education, that project that we want to work with in Rwanda there. 5,000 will go to peace and reconciliation, that coming alongside neighbors and helping them develop healthy co-ops where they can help each other. 5,000 for children and family, of coming alongside with Sunday schools and kids union and these kind of things. And then $5,000 to help support national workers who are working there who have to raise their own support, but there's no money in the country to raise it from. And then just to get to know people, just to be able to begin to develop these friendships that we've begun to develop. And whether it's going to Rwanda to work, but it's also we want to do like what we did with Gladys and Atala, but do it a little more intentionally, is to invite them into our congregation through media and through Skype and those kind of things, you know, to have them read scripture some Sundays, to have them just share a little bit about what's going on so that we get to know them. And all of that is driven by four key values that we see as being fundamental to how you do mission well. And the first one is invitation, is that we only go where we're invited. And so we were invited to go and explore at that trip in August of last year, of this year. And when we went, they invited us to come back. When they saw what we had and we saw where they were, they invited us to these specific projects that we've been talking about. And they invited us back, we invited us back into partnership. This whole idea of alongside, that we don't go there to do as much as we go there to train. And so a lot of what we want to do is even when we go there to do education with the pastors, not so much to train the pastors, but to train the teachers how to teach. And the third thing is this whole idea of integral mission, which is just code, I guess, for word and deed. That we don't go just to preach, and we don't go just to be a social agency, but we go to do both at the same time. That through word and deed, you know, as Jesus did, he preached to the people, and he taught them, and he healed the sick, and he, you know, fed the 5,000. And in that model of integral mission, that's how we go. We go to both bring the gospel, but also to work with the needs that are there. And the last one there is the whole idea of sustainability. That one day we'll be able to walk away at the end of these 5 years, we'll walk away and the projects will continue the way they have been because they don't need us to continue. That because we don't go there to do but to train, we can create sustainability so that we can one day walk away and go to somewhere else. Or we can continue the project further on. But this whole idea of it's just not building dependence. We're not going there as the Great White Hope or the Great Canadian Hope or the whatever who know how to do everything. We're going to learn alongside of them, but we're going to help. But we're going to do it sustainably. And if those are the values, then I guess the question is, well, why would you do it? And we do it for, I think, two reasons. We do it for what we can do for them. That we help them through this whole idea of expertise, that we come with things that they don't have. Now, they have a lot of stuff, and we're going to get to that in a minute. But we come with what they don't. We come to train. We come to do that kind of thing. We come to encourage, and we come with money, but not a lot. Bringing too much money creates dependency, and the whole idea of sustainability is that we want to be able to work with them while we're there. But the other thing is that we come to learn. We come to learn to understand what missions is and how to do missions, how to reach out to our own neighborhoods. And that's what this conference this weekend is about, is how do we handle poverty in Canada and internationally in a healthy way, in a way that is both in word and deed, in a way that's not in dependency, in a way that doesn't create this dependent culture, and in a way that doesn't remove dignity. And so it's helping without hurting. It's developing global leaders. It's developing people with a world-sized vision. It's allowing for personal change, for allowing God to change us by being involved beyond ourselves. And it's developing closer connection, whether it's with our mission at CBM or our sister churches that are serving there. So West Vancouver, Grand Prairie, and Emmanuel in Saskatoon are all also working in different parts of Rwanda. So getting to know them better, connecting a little bit more with the Canada Food Grains projects, both at Brownfield, but also down in High River. So doing that. And so the question is, why would I take your time to tell you this? And it's really this, it's that over the next 5 years, our goal is that every part of our church can connect in some significant way with the mission. whether it's our children or whether it's our seniors or whether it's our discipleship programs or whatever it is, that we can just be involved in Rwanda, not just as a mission committee and not just maybe as 5 or 10 people who go on a mission trip, but that all of us will be shaped by this, and that our church will be shaped by this, and it'll make a difference in our church, in our culture, and in our world. So the question comes, well, how can you be involved in a beautiful place like that? Well, the first one is prayer. Obviously, we value prayer in wisdom for knowing how to do this, in actually doing it and praying for the church in Rwanda. The second thing is we're planning a mission trip in June of 2020. A little bit up in the air as to the timing. We're still negotiating with what's best for Rwanda, but we're looking at that. And there's a couple of different parts to that. So if you're interested in any of these, we'd love to talk with you. One of them is working alongside children. We'd love to train their leaders for day camp and kids club. So we run a day camp here that's an amazing ministry in the summer. We got 12 full-time people for the summer. We have 300-plus kids who come out, and we run this program. It's just an amazing program. You know, it's got about an $80,000-something budget. It just about breaks even every year, almost exactly. But it is a way of making a difference here. And when we were talking to them in Rwanda about this, and then when they discovered that Don had done denominational work training churches in the whole area of children, they were so excited about having us come and do this. When you got a church that's on the same site as 17,000 kids, and they're trying to figure out how to connect the two of them, and when they're trying to figure out how to do Sunday school with limited resources, and when they're trying to figure out how to help in the school, this whole idea of children becomes a big thing when half your country is made up of people under 20. The other thing is in construction and working alongside in construction. They have these churches that need some work to finish them off, to get them up to standards. And whether it's the church that starts like that, or whether it's, sorry, I already showed you the picture of what it could look like at the end. But it's doing that, you know, it's maybe doing some stuff on those washrooms at the school. It's trying to figure out how we can come alongside, and not that we do it, because we're not experts in mud brick construction, but to work alongside, to have a team of them and a team of us working with each other, eating together, serving together, just learning together. It's working alongside in education, teaching pastors at the seminary level, but also teaching their pastors that aren't at the seminary level yet, those that are at the Bible college level. And more than that is training them how to train their own pastors so that they don't become dependent on outside people coming in and doing the training. One of the things we have is Cadre, which runs on Sunday evenings. And Cadre is kind of our evening Bible school / adult Sunday school, whatever. But the reality is the level of training at that is higher than the level of their Bible school training. And if we can, one of our goals of the Cadre in the evening is not only to train us and to teach us, but to train people to teach. And those people would be wonderful people to go over and be teaching over there in Rwanda as well. So this idea that we can go and we can make a difference in that way as well. To work alongside in projects, whether it's the food grains or whether it's the AIDS, HIV, or the Healing Life Wounds, which is a ministry that Regine King does who's part of our church, but she does as a professor at the university here, but also working over there in Rwanda. It's being involved in some of these kind of projects. There's a couple of real simple little ways. While we were over there, we bought some books in Kinyu, Rwanda. So the language over there is Kinyu, which is like Kenya with an I, and Rwanda, just like the country. So put them together, you get Kinyu, Rwanda. Don's convinced that for the kids, they speak Kinder Rwanda, but they haven't learned that yet. But what we did is we bought some of the books, and what we want to do is we've talked to them there, and they would love us to do a project, which will take us a number of years, about bringing textbooks. They have no textbooks in the school. You know, 17,000 kids with very few textbooks. next to none in most of the classes. And so we have a long-term project for that, perhaps. But just a simple one is just for kids to get books to be able to read. They have no place to practice their reading. And so starting next Sunday, there's going to be an opportunity for us. We brought some books back from Rwanda when we were there in Kenya, Rwanda. And you can buy those, but you don't get to keep them. But the money will go, and they will buy books in Rwanda that they can give out through the church to the kids. And so the shoebox project finishes next Sunday, and this project will start. And it's kind of a book project that's there. And we'll be looking at a little bit further one with textbooks in the long term. But speaking of books, also, it's just one of the things, just learning about what's going on in the rest of the world and learning about Rwanda. It's an amazing country that 25 years ago, out of 12 million people as it was then, 1 million people were killed in 100 days in a genocide. Another million or 2 million left the country just in fear and were living in Congo, living in other parts, Tanzania, Uganda, wherever. And that experience has shaped us in Canada by the bottom book on the right there by Romeo Dallaire, who was the head of the UN mission at that time, a Canadian, and just what happened there. And we know a little bit about Rwanda, mostly through Romeo Dallaire. But it's just an amazing country where 25 years later, they have brought that country together to the place where there is a lot of healing that has happened, and there's a lot of unity that's there. And we just think there's so much we can learn about what it would mean to come back to Canada. And if you can pull a country together where a million people have been killed by other members of that country, what could it mean in working with our indigenous population and the challenges that are there between those cultures, and what would it mean even with the whole Muslim culture and, you know, the challenges now that are coming with immigration and things like that, is how do we break down these barriers? And we just think that we have so much to learn from what Rwanda has done. And so just learning how to do that kind of thing. But then also just connecting with Rwandan people that are here. We've made connections with Jean-Claude, who runs a ministry called Soccer Without Borders. He's the one that gave us the soccer balls and stuff that we took. But Krista Holton is over here, part of our church, also works with his ministry. And just trying to connect with what he's doing, not only in Rwanda, but here. So connecting with the Rwandans that are here in this country and doing things, and Regine and some of the work she's doing. So there's all these things that are there, and we're just really excited about it. So, last slide has to be the sunset slide. And the question just comes, I'm excited about what we as a church can do. I believe that God has gifted us in so many ways. He has given us so many things that He wants us to use them to make a difference. He wants us to use them to make a difference here in the neighborhood and here in the community. And next week at the missions conference, we're going to be talking a lot about that kind of thing. He wants us to make a difference internationally. And so we have pastors that we support in India. We have churches that we built in India and Mexico and now hopefully in Rwanda. We have ministries that people that are serving in different parts of the world with Kristen going back to Nepal and just those kind of things. And so we have all this, but one of the things we believe is that we just can't shotgun all over the world, because then there's no focus and we lose that kind of thing. So when God calls people to specific places, we'll support them. But as a church, we're going to try and pour ourselves into this one area. That pouring ourselves into that one area, we will see what God does. We will learn how to do missions well. And hopefully that will spill over. As we said, our goal is that every part of the church gets shaped by this. That it's not just about that area, but what we learn about serving in that area that has ramifications for how we work in other areas. Working in that area and for what it means for working back here in Canada. And so focusing very locally and then beginning to spread out from there in what God is doing. And so just a challenge this morning. What is God calling you to be a part of? We kind of finished off last week with the end of that series on 1 Peter by just saying, are we willing to hear from God? Are we willing to be called by God and respond? And there was that overwhelming response of people coming forward and putting those cards in the baskets and saying, God, I want to hear from you what you're doing. And so now over this week and over next week, we're beginning to say, well, here's some of the areas that God is calling us to be a part of. Are we willing to reach out? Maybe it's in a different area, but connected. Maybe it's something that's local. Maybe it's something that's within our church. Maybe it's something that's international. But I just believe God is calling us to make a difference. I believe God has gifted us as a church. Financially, He's gifted us with amazing people, amazing gifts and skills. And He's calling us to make this difference in the world, to learn how to be ministers beyond ourselves in ways that are empowering, in ways that are healthy, in ways that are sustaining. And God's calling us. And this morning, I just invite you just to listen for what God would be saying to you. You'll be hearing more about a lot of this stuff in little bits and pieces over the next little while. This will be the only time I take the whole service to do it. But God is calling us as a church, I believe, to make this difference in the world, to step forward for Him. And so this morning we have elders in our prayer room. If you want to pray about something, if you want to talk to one of us as pastors, just say, I got an email this week that just said, I just sense that God is calling me. I don't understand what it is. And, you know, we'll set up a time for coffee and we'll meet that person and me and we'll talk about that. But if we can help you in that process as well. Well, my fundamental belief is that God uses us to make a difference, and we find our fulfillment when we live beyond ourselves. And so if we can help you do that, we'd love to do that. But we as a church are feeling that draw, that commitment to doing that. So this morning, the challenge, and as we go into this week, those little opportunities where God will whisper in our ear, and those little kind of nudges, where God will use us in some way, perhaps small, perhaps larger, but God will be preparing us. And as He said to Abraham, He said to Abraham, I come to bless you, that you will be a blessing. And I believe that's what God is saying to us. I've blessed you in so many ways that you may be a blessing to the world. And so, Father God, we come and we are just reminded this morning of what you're doing. We're reminded about the needs that are beyond us in Canada, as next week we'll be reminded of many of the needs that are here in Canada as well. And Father, we sense that you're calling us to be people who make a difference for you. And so, Father, we pray that you would help us to discern what your Spirit is saying, what you're whispering in our ear, both about how you'd love us to be involved in your world, but in how you'd like us to be involved in the people we'll meet this week as we go about the work that you've called us to in this coming week. Father God, we just pray that we would be those who are found faithful. We'll be those who, when those nudges come, we just say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Teach us, Lord, just to respond in faith and in trust. And Father, we just thank you for all the things that you've done for us, but all the ways you're preparing us to make a difference beyond that. Go with us in this week, we pray. Fill us with your Spirit, that we may bring you joy, and that in some small way, we can help your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. For we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.